This morning our scripture comes from Malachi, the third chapter, and the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. Malachi, see, I'm sending my message to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until the present offerings to the Lord is in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleased to the Lord as the days of old, as in the former years. And from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed him. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to the ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestors Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tendering mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The word of God for the people of God.
The thing to remember is that Zechariah is an ordinary village priest. He's nothing special. He's someone who gave a lifetime of very ordinary and faithful service. He is chosen, and there's details that go along with that, but he is chosen by lot to go to Jerusalem to offer incense in the temple before the altar of God. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. After he does that, after he does the offering of the incense, then his responsibility would be to go out into the temple courtyard and offer a blessing on all of those who are assembled here. Now, that's the background. The thing to remember is that for Zechariah, this is a momentous occasion. For him, it's a true blessing. It's something maybe he wished for his whole life long. He might not have ever had the opportunity. The lot could have fallen to someone else, but it falls to Zechariah. And so Zechariah will go. But things will not turn out as Zechariah expected. One of the themes of Advent is expectation. We participate in events at this time every year, and that's part of what makes this time so special, is the expectation of those things that we experience. The Christmas Eve service is one of those. A number of years ago, right as I first got out of school, I had the opportunity to go to a church that had an 11 p.m. Christmas Eve service. For that church, it was the largest service of the year, even bigger than Easter. And that first year that I was there, the first time I had a Christmas Eve service at 11 o'clock, at midnight as the service ended, the snow had just started to fall. It was really something. So knowing that Wesley has an 11 p.m. service, I can approach that with some feeling of expectation. Now, remember as well that Zachariah is not alone in his expectations. He has a wife. Elizabeth is her name. She's devout, just like Zachariah, her husband. She is also of a priestly family. Both Zachariah and Elizabeth are descended from the first priest, Aaron. Whatever village it is that they live in, Zachariah and possibly Elizabeth too, they travel to Jerusalem. And Zachariah goes into the inner parts of the temple. This thing that he has expected his whole life, and it's finally here. He goes in to offer, it goes in by himself to offer incense. And everything is going as he had expected. But then, much to Zachariah's surprise, something unexpected happens. There's the angel. There's Gabriel. He appears and tells Zachariah that he and Elizabeth will have a son, and they'll name the son John. He says, "You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at this birth. For he, the child, will be great in the sight of the Lord. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go and make ready the people to prepare the way of the Lord." Now, all of that's background to the blessing that Zechariah will pronounce, but it's not the blessing he expected to pronounce. We remember all through all of this that Zechariah is shocked. This unexpected thing has happened and he has trouble with it. And the angel tells him, because he's been incredulous at this, he'll lose his ability to speak. Well, we may have expectations ourselves, but what happens when the unexpected happens, as it did to Zechariah? He's forced into silence. He cannot give the blessing as expected. He cannot tell anyone what's happened. He can't tell even Elizabeth what Gabriel told him. Everyone assumes that he's had some sort of an experience, a vision, but no one knows what. I wonder if time went on, if Elizabeth began to have some inkling. She becomes expecting a child. Elizabeth herself chooses silence. So here are both of these, old Zechariah, old Elizabeth, in silence, away from everybody, secluded. But then the baby comes, as expected. That's why we say a pregnant woman is expecting. Sure enough, just as the angel said, there's the joy and gladness at the birth. But then the unexpected happens. Again, at least to everybody who's there looking on, Elizabeth says, "Name the child John." Now, if we've read the gospel, we know to expect this, but no one else does. Zechariah hadn't told Elizabeth to do this. She does it on her own. But then when they try to find out what Zechariah wants, he says, in a note, "Yes, his name is John." And John he is. And then one more time, the unexpected happens. Suddenly, Zechariah recovers the ability to speak, and finally, he pronounces the long-withheld blessing. "Blessed be the God of Israel. He has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." That's the gospel reading, where Zechariah speaks finally. You have to know all of that previous to understand the power of this blessing that John that Zechariah gives, not of John, his own son, but of God. And when the blessing starts, Zechariah is not speaking about the birth of his son, not just at the beginning of it, but the birth of another, the coming birth of one who will redeem Israel, the one that we'll know as Jesus. Now, in Luke's narration of the gospel, he calls this blessing of Zechariah a prophecy. Sometimes we will refer to this section of Scripture as the Benedictus. It's a hymn, a poem, and it's repeated even to this day. John and Charles Wesley, our Methodist fathers, were familiar with the service of morning prayer in the Church of England that comes from the Book of Common Prayer. This reading of Scripture, the Benedictus, is used every day in that service. In our own hymnal, we've got a section in the back and some of those pages we never hardly look at that's called the Order for Morning Prayer and Praise, and this reading is one of the readings suggested. Zechariah's words of praise have been repeated countless billions of times throughout the centuries because of that. We've joined in that today. The hymn that we did, Blessed Be the God of Israel, that's a musical version. If you look at it in the hymnal, it's right next to the reading, the song, the canticle of Zechariah, the blessing of Zechariah. So today you've heard it, you've read it, you've even sung the words. It is a blessing that has never ceased, as the prophecy says. In our hymn that we used, it says he has looked favorably on his people, they've changed it to he has visited his people. Because the blessing is that God is not just simply looking at us, but God is doing more than just watching. Now, we expect God to watch, but what's unexpected is that God comes to us. That's the unexpected thing. But the blessing of this season of the year, Advent, over the years, has been that this unexpected vision has become expected, so much so that we have no trouble joining in Charles Wesley's great Advent hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We may well say we've come to expect these kinds of things, to expect the joy of this Advent season. We celebrate the coming of God, the visitation of God in Jesus Christ, the one who makes real that promised mercy, who remembers us in our hard times. And this is one of those times of the year when the hard times are in such contrast to the joy that we want, that we expect to feel. We're told in Isaiah's word, or in Zechariah's words, that we worship without fear. We come before God confident of our place before God, because God has made that real for us in the salvation and the forgiveness of sins. All of those things we have no trouble expecting because of God's coming to be with us. And Zechariah's blessing still tells us this is God's mercy. This is like the dawn of a new day, the dawn breaking on us. In the language of the Scripture, they don't have the word dawn. You have to say it differently. In the original language, it's the rising light. Now, do you remember our tree? Last week I talked a little bit about the tree, about the branch that comes out of the root. That's the branch rising out of the root. That's how they say it. Now we hear in this scripture a light that rises to shine on those in darkness. Soon in Epiphany we'll talk about a star that rises in the east. All of those images of rising are important. That's the act of resurrection. That's what Jesus does. That's how salvation is accomplished, through resurrection. That's an unexpected event as well. And as unexpected as it might be in Advent and Christmas, it's important to remember the crucifixion and the resurrection, because those are the events of our salvation. And we remember this today because of Zechariah's blessing. It is a blessing of remembrance that's appropriate to come from Zechariah, because Zechariah's very name is derived from the Hebrew word to remember. And as we have now the opportunity to remember all that Jesus has done for us on this first Sunday of the month, we remember that God has come to us as Jesus in our need, like a light shining in the darkness. And now we remember to come to God and to receive blessing again, the blessing of Holy Communion. Remember all of that. And now draw near with faith to make our confession to Almighty God using the prayer of confession on the screen and in the bulletin. Let us pray. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way of salvation. Give us grace to heed their call, turn from sin, and greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And may the Almighty and merciful God forgive us of all of our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.